after noticing a declining number of individuals that was attending actual worship services and actually assembling together on the Lord's Day, there was a Discover magazine. It's a religious magazine that is non-denominational, but they did a survey because they were noticing that the number of people that was gathering together to worship God would seem to be declining. And I believe that that is a true statement. When we look out and we see the number of congregations today that aren't even able to make it anymore because the number has seemed to drop so low that they can't even self-support just keeping the lights on. They did this survey, and I'm glad they did, because I took that information and brought our lesson to us today, as I believe it's applicable to every single one of us, either as a wake-up call or something that we can use to encourage our own families or perhaps ourselves, whatever we need to do. But the survey was asking the question, why is it that you or your family has ceased coming together to worship the Lord in the Lord's house? And some in the church said, well, you know, I just quit going to church because someone there did me wrong. Someone there was very rude with me and my family, so I've just quit going and I do it from home. Others that they asked said, I don't have any friends that will go with me to church, so I just don't like to go. Well, let me submit to you, if you have a friend that won't go to church with you, I would begin to question how good of a friend are they. So we need to be thinking about that. There are too many. Another answer was, there were too many. I've never heard of this. There was another answer that said there was far too many activities in the church, and it makes me tired. And then on the other side of that, there was some that answered, or there's not enough activities to keep me and my family engaged. There was some that said they did not go to church because their parents had a drug problem. You know, and you've heard that before. They drug them to church every time the door was open, and they got burned out or whatever. There were some individuals in that survey that was asked that question, and one of the most popular was this: the church is full of hypocrites. You know what? You're exactly right. Every one of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? And if we do stand, and every one of us walked into this building today, hopefully for the same reason, and that is to worship God, to do that in spirit and in truth, so that we can live our life conducive with what the Scripture says, so that on that promised day of judgment, you and I will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. But we have to understand today that we're not perfect. If you follow me outside of those double doors, you'll be disappointed pretty quick. You're going to hear me perhaps say things, maybe it's not intentional, but you will say, look at Jerry just run the stop sign. Look at Paula just passed the red light. Look how Jerry responded to this, or look how he didn't even do anything about that. We all make mistakes. So that's why it is so important that you and I remember that Jesus tells us in his word to be sure you're letting your light so shine, because you are a Christian, because you wear that name Christian, because you have put on the breastplate of righteousness when you became a Christian, people are watching your lives. Would you agree with that this morning? So when I look at the book of Matthew chapter 5 down in verse 16, the Bible says, let your light. What's another word for that? Life, L-I-F-E. Let your light, let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorifying your Father which is in heaven. I hope and pray today, church, that we are living our life bringing God glory. I hope by the things we say and do, God is being glorified by those things. There are others in that survey that would answer the question that they're much too busy for church. Oh, I couldn't go. I can't go. I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm just too busy. Who do you think's giving you that schedule? God is. Who do you think's keeping you with the physical agility that you have to be able to do the things you're doing? God is. And every single one of us, I don't care who we are, every one of us have the same amount of time in a day. Do you agree with that? Bobby doesn't have 26 hours a day and only got 22. He's got 24. I've got 24. And we have to prioritize what's important to us. Does that make sense? So if it's a priority to me, if church is a priority and church attendance is a priority to me, then I'm going to focus my attention on that. But if other things outside of the realm of Christianity is important to me, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just simply saying you are going to pay allegiance to what's more important to you. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement? So if we're paying more allegiance to this than we are the Lord's church, then I personally recommend you to take a look at your relationship with God to find out, have I truly been born again? Have I truly done what the Bible's called me to do? Or have I just tinkered with it? Have I just toyed with it? Or am I truly walking in the newness of life? If we are a child of God, if we are a Christian, you don't have to be begged and pleaded with to live a life for Jesus. Does that make sense? You don't have to be, you don't have to have a preacher calling your house or a leader of the congregation calling, where are you, what's going on, why this, why that? It's not necessary. Now, it is important to remember we are our brother's keeper. We all get sidetracked. But I am so thankful when I read this, out of that Discover magazine, some of the reasons that people come up with: too busy for church. We also have those in our families and some of our friends that claim that they never get anything out of it when they come to the Lord's house. I've heard that statement before. It's very, very insulting when someone says, you know, well, I never got anything out of it. What did you bring to put it in thing in? Did you come in empty-hearted? Because it doesn't matter who your preacher is, if that preacher or that teacher is teaching the truth, amen, then you're getting something out of it. Does that make sense? I have sit in a pew and listened to preachers that I thought was absolutely pathetic. And I used to think to myself, I could take a bullet easier than I can listen to another one of these sermons. And I have sit before, like one of the actors said one day on a show that we were watching, and he said, I could sit through an insurance seminar for 3 hours with a smile on my face easier than I can hear this guy preach. But that's not the issue. The issue is not how he preaches. The issue is about what he's preaching. Amen? Are we in agreement? So no matter how he comes across, that preacher, that teacher, it's what's being taught. So if we say that we're walking into a church assembly and we're getting nothing out of it, I wonder if we're bringing something to put it in. So we need to be certain today, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we come with an open mind, that we come into the church, Lord's house, that we're coming here for one reason, and that is to worship Almighty God. Our God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshiped, amen? And I am not going, for me, do with it what you want, but for me, I'm not going to allow activities, I'm not going to allow these things to derail me and take me off my track of following after Jesus Christ. Now, you have to make your choice. I'm making mine. I'm making mine publicly. God knows what is inside my heart. Will I fall short? Absolutely. Will I miss the mark? Guarantee I will. But Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Lord's church is my priority. And I suggest and highly recommend for your salvation and mine, let's make sure that we're doing what God's called us to do. Does that sound fair so far? All right, so we've got all of these different things going on. We have those that, you know, once again, say they just can't get anything out of it. And then here's the others. Here's what the magazine said. Some people are just plain lazy. All right, thank you. I didn't mind. I needed a few breaths. But some people are lazy, and either you was very quiet because you're guilty, or you were stunned that the preacher said it, or you're like, hey, the dude's got a little bit of a point there. We've got some lazy people in our world today. Do you agree with that? I can guarantee you some of our members today are sick and unable to be out with us. I promise you that. Some of our members are too lazy to get out and come into the Lord's house. We'll make every excuse and every reason under the sun not to be here, yet at the same time, couldn't get here to church service, but I wonder how many of the ones today, Darlene, that are missing being here today will be at a restaurant in about an hour and a half. I wonder how many of them today will run to Target because they need a new belt. I wonder how many will go to the shoe store because they need some shoestrings or perhaps a new pair of shoes. I'll bet you a Dr. Pepper and a Sprite that those people will be able to go to these places, but God forbid coming to the Lord's house. Are y'all getting this? So I wanted to bring this to you, not in aggravation, not in that, but in concern and love. If you're not guilty of that, then let's be sure that we're sharing it with our families. Let's be sure we're sharing that with our loved ones. Let's share that with our coworkers. Let's share that with the people that are about us. So what about you individually? What about your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your husband, your wife, your children, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom, your dad? What are some of those reasons or excuses today, brothers and sisters, that they skip or forsake the services of the Lord's church. Hopefully, you do understand that the church, in God's mind, is something, and in our mind, should be something other than this building of brick and mortar. Amen? The church is indeed the body of Christ, and I don't believe for one moment that anybody in here would intentionally neglect the body of Christ. I hope that's not any of our priorities. So once again, on Sunday mornings, get up and go to church. Say that with me. Get up and go to church. Come and be spiritually fed. Come and feed upon God's word. Come and feed upon the milk of the word, and I promise it'll be great nutrition for your soul. Listen, we can't get to church by staying in the bed. Amen? We can't get to church by becoming a so-called Christian hermit. And there are people in our world like that today. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm just going to do it right here. Well, you might be a Christian doing it right there, but you're failing your responsibilities because the Bible says for us to come together. That Hebrew writer made it very clear, didn't he? In Hebrews 10:25. Listen to this. The Hebrew writer, inspired of God, God told the Hebrew writer, write this down. Do y'all agree with that or not? And he says, do not what? Thank you. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How in the world, if you were on your couch at home, and I'm here, and I'm down, because I'm selfish, I want your encouragement, I want your help, but how are you going to help me from your couch when the Lord says you need to be here to encourage me? Is that right or wrong? How am I going to help you be the Christian that God expects all of us to be if you're at home cutting tree limbs down instead of being together in the house of the Lord? Give God an hour a week. Can you do that? Can we not give God just a little bit of time of our life? Look what he gives us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and then it's practically impossible for me to give God an hour. An hour? Can we not wake up and smell that this coffee is not coffee? It's burnt wood? Can we not just wake up and say, what in the world has been going on in my life? Why am I neglecting the assembly? I don't say this. I'm not raising my voice to yell at you. I'm telling you, and I'm passionate about what I'm saying. This is real. Do you understand? This is a real God. This is a real church. There's going to be a real judgment. And there's a real heaven. There's a real hell. And I want to help you get to heaven because the reality of hell is real. Do you agree with that? So let's be sure, brothers and sisters, get up and go finish it. Get up and go to church. That's absolutely right. I love going to church because of what I find at the church. And I'm not talking about just the snacks back there, I promise you. But I love what I find at the church meeting place every time I go. So let's all make sure that we are meeting each time of the week. Go to church, and I assure you that you're going to find many, many great things. You're going to find lots of encouragement. So let's take a quick look, if I may, at just a couple of points that you and I can consider as we talk about the title of our lesson, Go to Church. The first point is this. I'm convinced that when you go to church, you can expect to worship God in spirit and in truth. Does that sound about right? You can expect to worship God in spirit and in truth. Matter of fact, you should expect that. If it's not in spirit and in truth, then you need to go somewhere else. You need to get rid of the preacher. You need to talk to the leaders. Amen? Do y'all agree with that? Here's why. Folks, listen. One of the things that I love about attending the Lord's church is that I can expect that we will worship God in a way that is acceptable in His sight and according to His word. When we come together in our worship to God, worshiping our mighty God, our Heavenly Father, we do many different things. We sing and we make melody in our heart according to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 19. We didn't just pick that out, darling, and start doing it. The Bible gave us instruction, didn't he? Didn't Paul tell the church at Ephesus about that? That would be like a yes, wouldn't it? So sing and make in your to the. There it is. So that's very clear. So for those of you that just decide that we're just not going to assemble, are you doing that on that first day of the week? I hope and pray that we can work that out. And then also, re-preach the word and not the doctrine of man. I appreciate so much what Tony brought to us a while ago in Galatians 1, 6 through 10. I like it so much, let's do it again. Y'all ready? Galatians 1, 6 through 10. God's word says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Do you believe that's possible today? We know it is. It's happening. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have heard, let him be what? As we've said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be what? Okay, let's go ahead and hit 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of who? I want to be that bond servant. I want Christ in me to be wound up. Amen? And I want you in Christ to be wound up. We all need to be bond servants. We need to be bonded together as we are serving Almighty God. That's what, my brothers and sisters, it's all about. When we come together to worship God, we also pray. I love what Jeremiah, that great prophet, says over in Jeremiah 29, down around verse 12. The Bible says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will, the Bible says, I'll do what? Thank you, Heather. The Bible says, I'm going to listen to you. I couldn't help but to think, Dana, about what the Bible says over in the book of Psalm, chapter 17, down around verse 6. Listen, the Bible says, I have called you. Watch this. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me. And what? That's it. And hear my speech. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Luke 18, 1. Man ought always to pray and not lose heart. So we're coming together to do these things. When you come to the Lord's church, you will see and witness us, and you should be engaging it too, giving back to the Lord as we have been prospered. 1 Corinthians 16, 2. On the first day of the week, lay something aside. That's what the scripture says. You can also expect this, to partake of the Lord's Supper. Every first day, amen, of the week. Not every 3 months. Not once every 6 months. The Bible says it just as clear in Acts 20, verse 7, about the Lord's Supper as it does 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Have you ever noticed some of the congregations throughout the world, some of these religious divisions, says, well, we do the Lord's Supper every 3 months. We do it every 6 months. We do it once a year. Well, where do you get that? Well, that's just what we do. Well, but what does the Bible say about it? Up on the first day of the week. That means today, yes or no? All right, now, they don't have a problem with one of them, but they have a problem with this. So the Lord's Supper, no, even though it says the first day of the week. But if you go over to 1 Corinthians 16, 2, the Bible says up on the first day of the week, lay something aside, talking about the collection, talking about the moolah, amen? If you notice, they put away this first day of the week when it comes to the Lord's Supper, but this scripture says exactly the same thing on the first day of the week about the collections. Wonder why they don't put that off to every 3 or 4 months. Oh, getting it? Why didn't they put that off every 6 months? I asked the question that one day with Brother Charles Wall. He was a preacher at Nolensville Baptist Church, and I did ask that question. And my father gave me a go to Hades look real bad and gritted his teeth. I said, well, Dad, it's just a simple question. Shut up. I said, I'll get you back. I'll be a preacher one day. Then what you going to do? And then he hit me, so we moved on. But the reality is, it is the same. It's the same wording, isn't it? All right. When you come to the worship service of the Lord's church, you should expect, seriously, listen to me, when you come together in the Lord's church, you should expect sound gospel preaching. I have made it a point, made sure, that I have never, people say never, I'm saying never. I have never stood in this pulpit and held a commentary. Have you ever seen me do that? Have you ever seen me say, well, this commentary says that we got to do this and do that. I'm not beating you up, preachers and leaders and teachers. If that's what you're doing, y'all go for it. I'm worried. I want to preach the oracles of God. I want to preach what I see is in print, so I know it's inspired of God, and I don't want to preach a man's idea about it. I want to preach God's truth about it. Does that sound fair? When you come to the house of the Lord, Tony, listen to this, and make sure you remember this. You should expect sound, that means truthful, solid gospel preaching. That means preaching the oracles of God. I don't come up here to tell you about where I went to school to learn preaching. I don't tell you about what this. I share things with you if I'm trying to get a point across. But this has nothing to do with Jerry, but it has everything to do with Almighty God. So I want to make sure today that when we come in here, you should walk through that door with an expectation to hear the sound gospel preaching. And the Lord has an expectation of every one of us to respond to that sound gospel preaching. Amen? All right. So that, brothers and sisters, is what it's about. When we go to the Lord's church, let's do what the Lord teaches us in His Word. And that is to come into His house and dine with Him. I love this. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 14, down around verse 23, the Scripture says, "Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my what?'" Thank you. Oh, isn't that awesome? "That my house may be filled." I want to be a part of that. I want to be one of those people. I want to be one right smack dab in the middle. "Hey, God, I love you so much. I'm here to worship you. Don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about you." But how many of us will walk through that door right back there? Walk in. I hope the preacher don't preach too long, or I hope he ain't too loud, or I hope he ain't too low, I hope he's in a better mood, or I hope this person does that, and hope that, hope the air's right. We come in sometimes with so many expectations, and somebody got my parking spot, and he did this. Why don't we just walk in the door? Say, "God, I'm tickled to be here. God, I love you so much. God, I'm here today as a sinner, desperately needing your forgiveness." That's what that should be. "And I'm here to worship you and only you. And I want to hear your word being presented. I want to do what you, God, are calling me to do." Yes or no? The second point that we're going to examine is this. And I'm treating Amy good today because I only have 2 points. So Amy, I just two. And I'm on my second one. So I do expect publicly saying this, peanut butter. If not, when they come back in here next week, we'll have 6 points. So it's totally up to you, Amy. All right, here's your second and last point. This lesson's going home with you. When we go to the church, listen to me. When you go to the church, you can have a great fellowship with one another. That's important to me. A great fellowship with one another. Can you imagine walking into this building and no one speaking to you? Now, I'm not talking about the last one's in, the first one's out, like my mom used to do, God rest her soul. But I'm talking about, seriously speaking, you walk into the church building, nobody speaks, everybody's grumpy, everybody has the prune on, you know, that prune like that. Y'all don't know that, it's like this. Now y'all know what I'm talking about? All right, don't be lying, because the ones that's looking down are the ones that's prunes. The reality is this, we need and want and desire, and God desires for us to have that great fellowship with one another. I think about 1 John chapter 1 around verse 7. And brothers, listen. And sisters, listen. When we walk in the light as He is the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, guess what it does? Cleanses us from what? Every drop of it. All of our sin. So I am thankful today, and I hope and pray that you are, for my fellowship with the brethren as a born-again Christian, as a child of the Most High God, a baptized, faithful believer in Jesus Christ. And this fellowship allows more and more blessings to come your way and mine. As a Christian, one that has been added to the body of Christ, added to the church according to Acts chapter 2, down in verse 47, you and I can enjoy and expect many blessings. Do you agree with that? We can expect many blessings because God blesses His people. Here's what we can expect. We can expect seeing Christians serving one another, helping one another. Galatians 5:13. You can also expect to see folks being kind to one another, showing compassion to one another, forgiving one another, as you saw what Paul wrote in his letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4:32. You can also expect to see Christians in the church teaching and admonishing one another, according to the book of Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 16, and doing that with great joy and feeling a sense of love when we do that. When you come to the Lord's church, you can expect to see Christians truly loving one another and loving each other from our hearts and not just from our tongue. 1 Peter 1:22. And you will witness, or should witness, the brethren living in harmony with one another as you can witness in 1 Peter chapter 3, down around verse 8. So listen, when you come to the worship service of the Lord, please don't expect this. Do not expect to be entertained. Amen? Are you getting that? That's not the reason we're here. Don't come in here for entertainment. Don't come in here to be catered to or bowed down to or saluted. You know as well as I do, your preacher has no bedside manner, but your preacher loves you and will pray for you and will encourage you, and I'll do anything I can to help you. I'm just not the catering type. Does that make sense? To all three of y'all. Okay, very good. Thank you for the three. All right, so we're not doing it for any other reason except to love God. We come together to worship our great God, our Creator. So listen, understand and remember that the Lord's church is indeed the greatest institution that has ever been established or will ever be established. We see that over in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus says, I say to you that thou art who? And I what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Is that what the Bible says? The gates of Hades are the gates of hell. That means this realm of death, Jesus is going to die. Physically, he's going to die. He's going to ascend up on high. What do you think is going to happen to his church? Nothing. His church will always stand. Very good. Please remember that it is the church. It is God's church that you're added to, brothers and sisters, when you are saved. It is the church that Jesus Christ, it's the same church, Harvey, that Jesus Christ gave his life for. The same church that the Bible shows Jesus being the chief cornerstone of. This morning, what is your relationship with the church? Are the church services, are they just something you do? Is that just something you do because your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife or your mom or your brother or sister is kind of forcing you into it? Is it just a habit that you have? Is it a place that you attend because your spouse has pushed you to do that? Or is church service a vital part of your life? Is church service today? Is it part of your breath? Is it part of the air that you breathe in, brothers and sisters? Is it part of your walk? Is the church part of your daily walk? Is the church part of your daily talk? Is the Lord's church a priority in your life? And if it is, are you showing that to others? Can others see and witness your love and your service to the Lord's church continually? If you're looking as you come into the church for the comedy barn, guess what? This ain't it. If you're looking for the Grand Ole Opry, it's right there off of Briley Parkway. This isn't it. If you're looking for the Bellmead Country Club, that's right over there back by where Nancy and them lives on the rich part of town. This isn't it. If you're looking for gossip and backbiting society, this isn't it. You are at the wrong place. If you feel that the church is Bank of America, Chase Bank, Regions, or Truist Bank, you're at the wrong place. This is the Lord's church, amen? This ain't about saving money. This is about saving souls. Are we together with this? That, my friends, is what this is about. This is not a financial institution. This is an institution about saving souls for Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's church, the greatest institution that has ever been or ever will be built and established. As I mentioned earlier, God's desire to see Christians spending time with one another, it runs pretty deep, folks. God wants us to grow, and he wants us to grow closer and closer and closer to him and to live for him daily. Matthew 5:16 again, go with me. Let your soul before that they may see your glorifying your, which is. And then over in the book of Colossians 3:17, whatever we do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Is that what the Bible's telling us? If you drop down to verse 23, keep Jesus in mind with everything that you're doing. Yeah, I paraphrase it. So what? Hey, listen to me. Go to church. Say that with me loud. Go to church. Very good. Let's make together. Listen, let's all make sure that church attendance is a priority in our lives. Wouldn't it be nice, brothers and sisters, if everyone would make the church a priority over sports, over hobbies, over people, and so many other things that we all, seriously, every one of us have been guilty of that, putting things before the church. This morning, what about you? Are you one that loves the church? Are you one that is putting the Lord and his church first and foremost in your life? Are you this very moment a member of the church that God adds to those that are being saved. A member of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus died for, the church that was established on the day of Pentecost. If not, today is the day. Today is the day that you make things right in your walk with Him, in your relationship with Him. Today, if you have not become a Christian, I beg you, in the light of the Scriptures, to become one, to be added to this church that we've been talking about, to be encouraged and to encourage others, to be comforted, because being a member of the church offers a lot of things, including our salvation, but it gives us comfort, doesn't it, in difficult times? It helps build our confidence. It helps build our courage. It builds camaraderie. There are so many awesome blessings when we are added to the body of Christ, but the greatest blessing of all is to be able to wash in the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, to be added to His church, to live in His church, to live for His church, to be saved by being added to His church. And then you know what the Lord's doing? Come the end of time, Jesus is coming back, and He's going to gather His glorious church. Are you a part of that today? Maybe today you become a Christian, but you kind of walked off a little bit. Get it right, seriously. I'm not trying to be mean to you this morning, but get it right. Make sure that we are putting nothing, anything before God and our love for Him. This moment, if you're not a Christian, hear God's word, believe God's word, repent of your sins, make a confession that you believe that Jesus is God's Son. He was put to death for us. He was dead for 3 days. He rose again. He's ascended up high, and now He sits on the right hand of the Father. Upon your confession of faith, we want to and should be, according to the Bible, must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, live a faithful life unto death, and always, 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 always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you have a need, any need at all, would you please come right now as together we stand and we sing.